she hit my phone and ask if I had plans. She got Bacardi and she bought a couple Zans. Okay, it's midnight and she Uber from her friends. Wanna hit the pool, I cannot comprehend. I don't know if it's drugs, but she turned me on. She in the kitchen, ain't got nothing on.
By George, the dream is alive.
GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the post-game podcast of George Mason versus LaSalle, presented to you by George and Giant Killer. We're here to recap the George Mason victory over the LaSalle Explorers, 84-76. The Patriots ending a two-game skid after going down to Richmond and losing two. I'm Tyler Byram. Joining me, help me through this podcast, is Brian Lawrence. So first, Brian, maybe just your opening thoughts from today's game and some takeaways.
Yeah, I thought, you know, and there's a lot of people that have been really critical of Jared Reuter's play early on, including us at times, and he kind of just carried us through that first half. You know, him and Kalicks have been splitting minutes, but you've seen over the last three games, I believe, that Reuter is playing a little bit more. When he's going against a defender that's smaller than him, he eats constantly. He gets to the bucket. He grabs offensive rebounds. He's got a little fadeaway jumper. He just kind of did it all tonight and or today. And I thought, you know, him and Javon Green really just kept us in that game in the first half.
Yeah, we'll go into Jared's performance a little bit more, as well as Javon's. For Jared Reuter, he finished with 16 points. It was his best performance of the season if you take out the NC Central game. 16 points, the second highest total for him. But for me, I thought this was a game, it's a good rebound game for George Mason, able to get back in the win column. Sometimes getting that victory back is the hardest one that you have to get on the season. And while it wasn't pretty at times, and you hope that you can have a better win differential against LaSalle, the Patriots are able to end up and get a win. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how much you're beating these team by. Win is a win. So let's just do a quick rundown of the game, basic play-by-play. George Mason, they started out really hot. Jordan Miller, Jared Reuter, Javon Green, all guys that were able to get George Mason scoring early and often. They had a 13-4 run, and forced head coach for Howard, head coach for LaSalle, Ashley Howard, to call a timeout. After that timeout, though, Explorers climbed back into the game with a 12-4 run of their own. Kind of went back and forth the rest of the way, and then finally, just inexplicably almost, LaSalle, an 8-0 run to end the first half, and they take the lead at the break, 39-37. And for me, I'm saying it was a little bit of a shock to see LaSalle go on a run that we hadn't really seen them do much in that first half.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me that Mason would be down 2, and between Kyer and Otis, they have 2 points, or maybe 3 points between them, I would have never believed you. And it was quite clear that we needed that early run to kind of stay in the game, because LaSalle just kind of hit a bunch of threes early on and found some luck around the bucket, too. I believe they hit a three with, like, I don't even know, 7 seconds left in the first half to take that two-point lead. But Kyer and Otis, they brought it in the second. And so, you know, it was kind of just a balanced attack all the way around from start to finish for the guys. And I thought we did a really good job eventually closing out on LaSalle and really kind of sealing the deal with our defense.
Yeah, in the first half, as I mentioned, it was all Green, Reuter, and Miller performing for the Patriots. Second half, though, that's when the seasoned veterans came in for George Mason, really got going. Justin Kyer, he didn't have a single shot attempt in that first half, but he finished the game 5-for-9 with 13 points. Mason got their lead back up to 8 with Ian Boyd hitting a three-pointer, his first since the Dayton contest, almost a month ago, and then a 14-7 run to close the game for George Mason. Greg Kalicks hit some big free throws. Jared Reuter hit some big free throws. I think everyone on the starting lineup was able to hit free throws down the stretch for George Mason. But overall, if you want to get a good sense of the game, if you didn't watch it, it was back and forth a majority of the way. It always seemed like George Mason was just a bucket or two away from taking fully control of this game, but LaSalle kept climbing right back. And when LaSalle took the lead, George Mason reacted appropriately as well.
And what do you think? So you're in the press game, your post game conference. You know, everybody on Twitter is kind of, you know, ripping our defense. Me and you were kind of talking about it. You know, kind of continuing to trap the hedge and also on the block. It didn't really make much sense to us, but we asked Coach about it in the post-game presser, and he said, you know, this is how we've played all conference long. So are they going to change their style now, you know, closing in on finishing out the conference games? Or do you play defense, you know, per team that you're going to play here? And so I'm just kind of wondering your thoughts. Obviously, during the game, we thought, you know, why are they trapping? And then it worked. We closed out for some really bad threes late in the shot clock there. So, you know, I'm wondering for the Tyler Byram's thoughts there.
Well, like you said, it worked out. So at the end of the day, you can say it was probably the right decision. But LaSalle, they took 27 three-pointers in this contest, and early on, they were hitting them quite often. I remember early in the second half, I told you that LaSalle had hit 5 out of the last 7 three-pointers, and that was just a stretch when it looked like LaSalle was about to take control of the game, and George Mason, as we've seen in some games past, just kind of fall apart because things aren't going their way. But then the game finishes, LaSalle was only 1 for 8 in their final 8 attempts. So while they were forcing the ball to come out and how that wasn't really working, I think for a team like LaSalle, a team that actually likes to shoot three-pointers, Saul Feary, he is the leading three-point shooter in the Atlantic 10, and they allowed him to start the game 4 for 5. He finished 5 for 8, but he had way too many open shots, and he was able to nail majority of them, and you can't have that happen defensively, especially against a team like LaSalle, where they aren't going to press you much in the paint. They aren't going to try and score at you from many different angles. They're a three-point shooting team, and if you're going to let them drive and so many guys collapsing on the ball inside, leaving it wide open for that second pass three-point attempt, some teams are going to catch you later in the season. But for today, it worked, and LaSalle wasn't able to get those three-pointers down the stretch.
And, you know, what DP kind of said it, you know, it's not necessarily the trapping that's leaving people wide open. It's the slow rotation on the second part of that rotation. So, you know, I think sometimes as fans, we think we know what we're talking about. And at the end of the day, you got to trust the people that are making the big bucks. But why don't you leave us here, Tyler, with some of your final thoughts, how this affects us in, you know, the A-10 standings, kind of keeping in that top four. You know, give us the Tyler Byram final thoughts.
Well, for this game, I didn't want to call it a must-win, but George Mason really needed this game. LaSalle coming in, they were 5-4 in conference play. If you just think George Mason were to get a loss, they would be 7-4, and LaSalle would be 6-4. And then LaSalle has the head-to-head advantage going down the way on a team that, although they've only played some bottom-tier opponents to go on their win streak, they had won 4 straight coming in. But George Mason, they get the big victory. They now separate themselves a little bit. But before we look farther ahead, I want to talk a little bit about Jared Reuter. I tweeted out during the game, I was like, now's the time to go and delete all those negative tweets everyone had early in the season. Do you believe now he is developing into that player that Paulson lauded early in the season?
You know, personally, I don't think so. And I don't want to talk trash, you know, too much about any player. And this is a discussion that Tyler and I have had on our Giant Killer forum. And, you know, half of us are super pro him and half of us are still waiting to see a little bit more. My issue is that he still lacks premier size. So when he goes against guys that are bigger than him and can move him out of the paint, I don't know how effective he is. Now, like I said earlier in this podcast, if he's got a smaller forward on him, he's going to eat all day long. Where I'd like to see Reuter's game kind of evolve is he has a nice jumper. You never see him take that high post jumper, but he shoots well from the free throw line. He has a nice little fadeaway, and I really think he can make it easier on himself if he were to hit a couple of those high post jumpers, because then people have to respect that, and he can kind of go by them a little bit easier. But do I think it's time to tout him as a top 5 player in the A-10 conference right now? Absolutely not.
Well, he's doing well so far. Tonight, he had 16 points, 5-for-9 shooting, 6-for-7 at the free throw line. He also had 5 rebounds, 4 of them being offensive, and some of those were in key moments. And Paulson admits that Jared Reuter isn't really known for his rebounding, but he's able to get some key ones in big moments for the Patriots. Also, in the past, I want to say now, 4 games, or maybe it's 5 games, Jared Reuter is shooting 22-for-34. Really good for
Crazy.
A guy that was struggling early on in the season, and I think he's really been able to blend into this offense. Moving on now, Javon Green, he was the leading scorer for the entire contest. Surprisingly, Pookie Powell, who he had 18 points, but I think it was a quiet 18 points for him as the leading scorer for LaSalle. Javon Green able to get those 21 points. Of course, those three three-pointers early on, helped leading the way for George Mason. And you were saying it was kind of a come-out party for him tonight.
Yeah, and we did a post-game interview with him, so go ahead and make sure you look for that on giantkiller.co. Always like hanging out with him. Why? Because he's just a humble guy. I try to ask him, you know, I try to get him to brag on himself a little bit, and he always throws the applause to his teammates, saying his teammates got him open, his teammates find him, and he's just hitting shots that are open. And so that's the stuff you want to hear from a sophomore guard who's really coming into his own. 21 points, I believe, is his highest in his career here at Mason. And I think sometimes he passes up shots, but tonight he hit that first three, and you notice anytime he hits the first three of the game, good things are about to fall.
Well, only a couple more segments left here. Wrapping up this LaSalle game again, George Mason won 84-76 final score. Patriots 14-10, 8-3 on the season. LaSalle 7-15, 5-5 in the Atlantic 10. One thing I want to get your thoughts on is how much do you take away from this game? Patriots had lost two beforehand to VCU, which I think some people expected, but they didn't expect it in the fashion that they did. Of course, the disappointing loss to Richmond in their last game, and now they beat LaSalle, a team that entered conference play with only two victories, and maybe you wanted a little bit more. I'm just curious to see what your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, looking at this game a couple weeks ago, you're kind of circling it as a easy win. LaSalle has now kind of found their own. Tyler and I sat right behind the LaSalle bench, and you could kind of see the fire. I mean, Coach Howard, you can see that he's doing something with that program. He was coaching up the bench the whole time. And so I think you're seeing a different LaSalle team than we saw in their out-of-conference play. And I think they're kind of taking advantage of a bad A-10 year as well, beating up on some teams. So do I take much away from this game? Not necessarily, but it showed that Mason is willing to rebound. They're willing to fight off of a couple losses. We could have easily crumbled, been sent to three losses in a row, and really hurt our A-10 standings. I thought you saw some fire. You never see quit in Paulson ever. It doesn't matter if we're up big or down big. He's always kind of fiery, screaming, getting his players hyped. So, you know, am I taking anything away from it other than, you know, Mason showed up when we needed them to? Not really. You know, they beat VCU at home. I'll have something different to say. But I think today was just kind of winning the game we should have won.
Yeah, I am completely in agreement with you. This was kind of a get right for George Mason. They were able to get four players in double figures. Every single player that played significant minutes on this roster kind of showed up with a different attitude for this game. Guys weren't missing shots. As a team, they shot over 50%. So if you've lost two straight and you're able to shoot over 50% as a team, I think that bodes well. Defensively, I don't think that's as much as Coach Paulson liked it in this game, but they're able to get this victory, and I think now they've been able to turn around and go towards down the stretch, see what they can do in some key games coming up. With that, as we kind of trying to wrap things up on this post-game podcast. Right now, George Mason, 8 conference wins in the Atlantic 10. There's 18 games. They've lost 3. So that means there are 7 left. UMass at St. Bonaventure, Duquesne, Richmond, at St. Louis, VCU, and at George Washington. Brian, how many wins do you think this Patriot team's get?
You know, I think the two hardest games there are probably at the Bonnies. Why? Because, you know, they did just get blown out by 30 to VCU. But I think they're just a young team, and they're going to have something different every single game. The one forward, I can't pronounce his name, and then Kyle Lofton, both can bring it. And then you're looking at VCU. I think with 7 games remaining, you know, I think we win 4 or 5. With some of your obvious losses, got to handle GW on the road. I think St. Louis is kind of spiraling out of control. That's, I guess, one of our toughest games left on the schedule. If you're looking for a tough game, I think we pull that out. Mason hasn't really been able to, besides the on-the-road Dayton win, we haven't really had too many good wins so far in the A-10 with losses to VCU and Davidson. I think we lose to VCU and maybe to the Bonnies on the road, allowing us to go 5-2 down the stretch.
Well, along those lines, kind of leading to it, I do think that George Mason's also either going to go 4-3 or 5-2 down the stretch. But if George Mason goes 5-2, that puts him at 13-5. And based on how the past 4 years have gone in the Atlantic 10, since they've expanded the regular season to 18 games, George Mason would at least be the 4 seed in conference play. Last year, St. Joe's were able to get it with only 10 wins, but before that, it was 13, 13, and 12 wins for the respective fourth place team in the Atlantic 10, which I think is big, and I think that's what the team needs to strive for going down the rest of the way. UMass, they aren't going to be a pushover. They just beat Davidson, and you know that UMass, they've had a disappointing season. I don't think anybody at all expected them to have 2 wins at this point in the year. So they're going to be a tough test here at Eagle Bank Arena. You mentioned St. Bonaventure. That's going to be a tough one to travel. I know St. Louis is kind of spiraling downward, but that's a tough road game to go to. It's a long trip. Basketball is a little bit different in the Midwest than the VCU game at home. Those are all trouble games as well. And Duquesne is no pushover, and you've already lost to Richmond once. So who knows what's going to happen here in Eagle Bank. They do have a tough stretch, but I do think George Mason's able to turn it around, and they will be in contention for a top 4 seed.
Looking at last year, I mean, we had the chance too to finish in a top 4 spot. Looking at it, was all you needed was 10 wins, and we lost. I forget, I may have been to Richmond, but we lost some terrible game down the stretch that really kept us out of the top 4. And so you got to look at, you know, us wanting to rebound off that performance. So, you know, just got to keep rooting. Everybody come out, keep coming to games. We got a hashtag PhillEBA. Tyler, why don't you take us out?
Yeah, well, that will wrap it up here for this post-game podcast. We're looking for a name, so if you guys have a name, we'll be happy to have them out. You can tag me at the Tyler Byram if you have any suggestions. You can tag at by George GMU, right? Is that the new one? Is that the correct one?
That's the correct
one.
Yeah,
at by George GMU, or also at GMU Giant Killer. We're looking for a name. If you want, we love to have feedback as well. If you want us to have any segments as well, we hope to continue this going forward, especially at home games, since there's such a big By George GMU Giant Killer contingent here at Eagle Bank Arena. But that will wrap it up here as the Patriots defeat LaSalle. I am Tyler Byram. He is Brian from By George, and we will see you guys next time.